Don, how important do you think it is to carefully consider what the weaknesses we might see in an identified niche market?
I guess that's why I use the language thoughtful consideration, because, two things. Customers' motivations and emotional connections with what they feel like they want from the food is changing and is not solid. And that's why even when I have producers come pretty happy that they've connected well with consumers, our newest message to them is generally do everything they can again to give these ways to make almost a community or an experiential additional value to the purchases they're making with them, so that part of the purchase really ends up being, there's two ways you could pose it. Part of it ends up being a service in the fact that the producer's also providing some direct assurances or access to a farm heritage the person wants to reconnect with. Or second, to think about making it just like John Deere did long ago, making it part of a community where someone's own identity is somewhat a function of who they buy their food from. And we've been speaking this a long time ago, but then when the USDA came out with Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food last week, I guess I've never been as succinct about saying it, but that's what I guess I feel like at least part of the consumer base is. And that is a risk management tool in and of itself, because once there's a face back on who you're doing business with, there tends to be a little stronger loyalty and less vagrancies to wherever the market forces take prices or the hot trend of the day.
Thank you. And the first question from our audience for you, Raleigh, is they want to know, do you have a book or some recommended reading to help them think about emotional aspects of marketing? There are several. If you go into the web and type in the psychology of marketing, there are several articles and some books that can be helpful. I don't have any particular ones to mention right now, but one thing I can assure you is the successful marketers have the psychology part in check. And Raleigh, you pointed at the high, the $15 high, and that when you were talking about the emotional aspects of marketing, impacts that might have, what percentage of grain got sold at that level or higher?
Oh, well, way less than 1%.
So there aren't very many people that hit that. Is that's that essence? That's, I think, right?
Well, the reason it was $15 is there was nothing for sale.
Oh. Okay. And your slides, you mentioned, and I've just referenced it, marketing is an emotional endeavor. And this question's come in is, what strategy should a producer follow in recognition of that fact? You touched on that some in your slides. Do you want to give us a little more on that?
Real quickly, John, the elements of marketing are, number one, if a person can just sit down and figure out a rate of return and what price will reap them that rate of return that will make them very happy, then they can have a target out there in the distant future that will, they can always be searching for that number. People that are saying, okay, if I can get $4, or I can get $5, or I can get $6 for wheat, and they don't have how many bushels they're willing to sell at those numbers, they're waking up every day saying, is this a good price, or is this a good price, or is this a good price, but they don't have any targets.
And do you, I already asked, I'm sorry, I answered that question. I'm, I'm skipping around here. I'm going to come back to Don for a question, and then I'll come back to you, Raleigh, so don't go away. And I think we may have answered this directly to some folks. We've had more than one person ask about how to get to Market Maker and kind of what's the links, Don, and do you have a simple way? Can they simply Google Market Maker?
That's exactly what you should do, but you can do general market maker because that's actually a term that's used in the stock markets. So it's best if you put a state like Colorado Market Maker, Indiana Market Maker, New York Market Maker. The problem is I think I saw in our original poll that these are mostly Western participants, and the West, part of the reason they recruited Colorado so heavily is the West is not represented well yet, and that's part of what I'm hoping to kind of remedy, because it's more valuable for us in Colorado too if our surrounding states have it. But if you do any state along with Market Maker, one of your first links will be Market Maker, and John did post the actual link to Colorado, but we also bought the website coloradomarketmaker.com like many states have, so it's a little easier to share.
Good. And Raleigh, you talked about the importance of information, and Don, you can leave your mic on so that when we come back to you. Raleigh, you mentioned the importance of information, and someone here is asking, do you have other information sources where people should go look about the market and the source and that information they should track?
My goodness, the information that is available today is astronomical. You can go into almost any grain company's website, and they all have links to different market groups and DTN, and there's or just Google World Grain Markets, International Grains Council. The information is it's astronomical, the amount of information that is out there. But the important thing is you also need to find one or two people that you can trust, that you can use them as people run strategies by. But the information, John, is everywhere.
And Don, you pointed to some successful collaborations, marketing collaborations, and do you have some pointers that could be recommended to folks to how you put a collaboration together like that, or what are some of the critical things of making a collaboration work?
I have been really lucky to mostly run into collaborations that were already in place and figured out how to work together the best they can. So I wish I had some magical words, but I guess what we have seen in some case studies, well, there's two ways to collaborate too. There's very much the still arm's length contractual things that happen with some alliances where it is, you know, very much about just getting economies of scale together or attacking a market together. Those are the ones I've not dealt with as much, but the ones that have really been able to build a sense of community where, again, they're probably getting some of their customer loyalty even from the fact that they think the customer believes they're part of something that's just a great business model are, definitely along the lines of being very clear. They don't have the sense of desperation, like, we really, really, really need you, so please join our thing. It's very much about making it almost an honor to be invited to be a part of the group, being very, very sure that there's a very similar, if not unified, vision about what their values are and what they believe in, both in terms of the heritage of their ag system and the food that they're offering to people, and then very much a sense of realizing each other's strengths and limitations, and kind of dividing and conquering, so that not everybody does have to know exactly everything that's going on with the financial part, or not everybody has to be manning a table at a retail sampling site or a farmer's market, and that they actually learn to share based on what each of them is willing, good at, and able to do.
Don, do you have some other, you pointed to Market Maker. Are there some other resource sites that you could point to that would be good resources when people are thinking about niche markets or are already there and wanting to expand or strengthen? Are there some places out there you would recommend people go looking for good source information?
Yeah, because Market Maker has done very little on educational materials, but probably the newest innovation is the Good Food Network, which is a Kellogg initiative that is trying to pull together case studies and examples of everything from farm to school to supply chain partnerships and to direct retail partnerships that are happening across the country, and that represents every region. So if you Google again Good Food Network and put Kellogg into it, there should be some good materials. The other thing I didn't know about till I actually wrote one is the Ag Marketing Service runs a federal state marketing improvement program, grant program. And even if you're not in the mood to write a grant, I can't believe how many people have found me through finding that there was a project report written about something I did that they wanted to mimic in their state. So sometimes it's actually, this isn't as much true for the pure research grants out of CSRES, although there's more and more of those that are extension-oriented. But if you look at Ag Marketing Services Federal State Marketing Improvement Program, there has been a grant written about almost every marketing topic by some state that you could imagine, and all of them are supposed to be willing to share those reports if the Ag Marketing Service doesn't have them themselves. But a lot of this stuff and research has been looked at pretty directly already, very much in an extension orientation, and that's an underutilized resource that I don't think they've figured out how to package yet.
Oh, thank you very much. And Raleigh, would you have one final wrap-up piece of advice to give folks that are in the commodity, having to market into commodity markets?
I guess the one word of advice is beware of the minefields. And the minefields most generally have nothing to do with economics, they have everything to do with psychology. The opportunities that we've had for the next 3 years, over the last 3 years, are astronomical. Farmers have had opportunities to lock in prices that they only dreamed of, yet they did very little of, and it had nothing to do with economics. It had everything to do with psychology. So I would say to everyone in the audience, whether you're a producer or whether you're an educator or a banker, whatever field of endeavor we're in, that we need to really, if we're going to help people economically, first we have to understand how we all together can band together to navigate those psychological minefields.
Well, Don and Raleigh, I want to thank you very much for very informative presentations. And there's one last polling question coming up here we'd like the audience to respond to. But here in just the closing minutes then, I'd like to, if there's something you missed in these presentations, those will be up on our Ag and Uncertain Times website, so you can go back through them, review them, something you missed. They both have really good information in them, and some pointing to some other places. And we're going to pull a pod on here now, which has all of the web links that are our presenters have talked about that, well, not all that they've talked about, some of them. Also, our web link for Ag and Uncertain Times webpage, which gets you to all of those past presentations. We welcome people to pull those down, use them, take them to your educational meetings or your meeting of your local farm bureau or grain growers or whatever groups you're associated with. They're on target. Information there is excellent. And I welcome you to come back on October the 7th when we'll be back with a series really targeted at working with farm and ranch families who find themselves caught in some type of a financial stress or crisis. And we've been able to line up a very good and experienced set of presenters. Our kind of kickoffs presenter is Dave Gaylor from Nebraska, who spent a lot of time working with farm families during the crisis of the 80s and has actually continued in that work up to the present day, and so is really will provide some really good insights on as we think about this. And we do believe, given the kind of the economic situation that's kind of settling over ag, is that there are likely to be some of our friends, neighbors, and colleagues who find themselves in some role where some of the tips that come out of this might be very useful to them. So you can download any of these three files that you see there on your screen. You just click on the save to my, you identify the file name, the click on the save to my computer button that's there, follow the instructions, it'll download that right to your own computer. I guarantee you these are virus-free files. And so you won't have to have written to get the Ag and Uncertain Times web link. But again, thank you to Don and Raleigh, and I'll for Don, she referenced the homestead ranches and beef, and we were privileged in our meeting here at Grand Junction to have them come and give a presentation and talk very specifically how they had used the very information that Don was putting up there and how it had really strengthened their bottom line in terms of targeting their marketing. One interesting piece out of that was that research and the analysis of the margin showed that the restaurants was the lowest margins and was some of the most difficult markets to keep. And so it helped them make some very informed decisions about how to strengthen their marketing and improve their bottom line. So I had a first-hand experience of the application of that. And in my work in Eastern Washington, I've seen the results of Raleigh's work, and it was interesting to discover that with his elevator and his cooperative, the majority of his producers have most of their crop priced. So thank you again to you all, and we look forward to seeing you on October the 7th.